is episode 30 of UFO Encounters. This week I'm reading from Althea Provost's book. It's called Four Aliens and a Funeral, A Memoir of Perception. When I have guests on my podcasts, I read their books to work out questions for the episodes. And when reading these books, I always find such amazing information that never makes it into the podcast. And here I get a chance to give you a peek into the book. I'll put a link to the book in the show notes, and I did seek permission to record this extract from the book, and the author kindly said yes. And so if you enjoy this podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe. So I'm going to read from a section that's titled Conscious Encounters, the Alien Kind. And this is what Althea has written. I met my first alien in 1993. I met my first light being in the winter of 08, encountered a UFO in 2014, Bimini. My first conscious encounter with an extraterrestrial being was a car sighting. Attending Reggae on the River, a weekend concert near the banks of Eel River, Garberville, California, a group of girlfriends left the event early while I chose to stay for the close. On Sunday, August 1, 1993, the concert ended after 7 p.m. My friend's father and I gathered the tent and our belongings, leaving the campsite for the car. Sometime after that, we made our way back to Redwood Valley. The drive usually takes about an hour and a half, but we were in my father's yellow 240D Mercedes-Benz. My dad had replaced the diesel engine with a Toyota 21R gas engine he imported from Japan. We had a saying in our family, a motorhome pulling a boat could pass us by. The car gained speed if we had the momentum from declining a steep hill, otherwise we took in the view. On the return drive, three people were inside my father's hybrid Benz. My friend's father was driving the car, a concertgoer getting a lift home was sitting in the front passenger seat, and I was sitting in the back seat on the passenger side. We were driving south on Highway 101 along the Serpentine Road, likely near Laytonville. It was late in the evening when the car rounded a corner and the headlights from the Benz illuminated a small grey alien standing on the side of the road. "Did you see that?" exclaimed the concertgoer. Looking out the passenger side window, I saw a small grey with big black slanted eyes, short torso and skinny arms and legs. It was standing still, almost motionless. I tilted my head against the headrest with an audible moan. At that moment, I knew that the grey alien had delivered a cosmic wake-up call. My friend's father asked me if I was okay, and I responded yes. Becoming quiet, we didn't speak about the sighting, driving in silence, alone in our thoughts, until we reached Redwood Valley. That evening, I reflected on the situation that occurred before the concert. I had driven to San Francisco to meet my friend's father, where I was to follow him back to Redwood Valley for safe measure. During this benign night drive, an overwhelming vibration came over me, an energy I inherently knew from childhood contact experiences but had long forgotten. And now the weird vibe was back. Quickly rolling up the windows as if to lessen the intensity, I ignored an energetic pull to look left into the darkness of night. My friend's father began to slow down, signalling to pull over to the right. I refused, keeping my speed constant. My front bumper neared the back of his car. I intuitively knew that a contact experience would have occurred if we had exited the freeway. How I knew that, I couldn't say. Perhaps the sheer power of the relentless vibration. Hours later, we arrived at his house. When my friend's father exited the car, he asked, "Back there, what was that about?" Ignoring the question, I went inside. I recognised the vibration, but wasn't ready to explain it to him or myself. Unbeknownst to us, this moment was the preview, and together we would experience contact that weekend. And onto the next section, this is called Mindfully Ask to Receive. February 2002. I'd just completed Usi Reiki 1 and 2, rekindling my interest in energy and soul awareness. I jokingly referred to my Reiki as the gateway drug to ET consciousness. Asking spirit to reveal my extraterrestrial aspect, that night, in a dream, I saw a massive starship. I instinctively knew the craft belonged to the Greys. I observed humans, who appeared to be sleepwalking, walk along a landing onto the ship for DNA adjustments. While watching this scene, my conscious mind became triggered, and conflicting emotions produced an egoic response, trying to wake people up as if to save them, a useless reaction. I woke up sobbing heavily, causing my husband to wake. "What's wrong?" he asked. "I am a G-R-E-Y. "Go to bed, little Grey," he offered while soothing my back. Unaffected, he quickly fell back to sleep. As the days passed, emotional waves intensified and lessened, back and forth processing from acceptance to denial. At some point, growing tired of the push-pull situation, I began to assess, considering my experiences with disturbing dreams were a rarity. Knowing that fact about myself, I recognised that my ET dream unravelled an inner conflict hidden within the subconscious. I explored the subject through internet research, uncovering an American online culture rife with projected blame, heavy on judgment and condemnation of the Greys. Shame-based narratives crafted in spin against Greys were cut and dry, leaving no room for evolution of thought, let alone the species. We are one light in many forms, whether one finger, three, or five. I decided to share my knowledge with those who needed the information and get on with my private life. As years passed, I met many peers in the metaphysical industry who shared an ability for second sight. I began receiving unsolicited messages from these peers, telling me as directly as can be, "You're a Grey." I was comfortable acknowledging their observation. What I could not fully answer to myself was, what is the purpose of this awareness? And on to the next section. This is titled Bad Hair Days. In June of 2013, after sharing my cosmic form with a fellow teacher, she whispered that she too was a Grey. How she knew, this renowned teacher didn't say. In 2014, while attending a retreat in Hot Springs, Arkansas, I met a young woman who had conscious contact with three Grey beings and felt comfortable with her experiences. She was open to sharing, and when we met the following year, she shared a recent incident. She woke up to notice that her long hair now had a sizable chunk missing. It had been cut a few inches from the nape of her neck. She lifted a section of hair, exposing the clipped-off portion. "Who would remove my long hair? Certainly not my parents," she asked in bewilderment. A situation triggered a memory from my junior year in high school. In 1984, I awoke to find my hair had been cut. I recalled looking in the mirror, noticing I had freshly botched curtain bangs, short like Audrey Hepburn's micro bangs, except my new style was not a welcome sight. I had two clipped sections angled diagonally, from short to severely short. I was angry, and my family, when confronted, was angry at my accusations. Confusion was mutual. I returned to my bedroom in frustration, looked up toward the ceiling and said, "Leave me alone." As a teen, I was vaguely aware of ship interactions at night, but consciously indifferent to the subject. My attitude changed when I received those badly cut micro bangs. After that decisive declaration, I could not remember being aboard a craft nor having ET experiences. Later, as an adult, I was told by a fellow contactee that in earlier contact scenarios, the Greys monitored the health of human DNA using hair samples. And on to the last section I'm going to read. This is called More ET Contact. During the 2000s, I started to re-experience onboard activity. It was midday when I was driving down the street in Parker, a small town in Colorado. Suddenly, I began to lift out of my body and then my car. My consciousness went up. Up. Away. My vehicle must have been on autopilot. My body was inside, but my awareness was elsewhere. When my consciousness returned to my body, it was like being slammed into a small container. Nausea followed and a momentary panic before readjusting to the present moment. My hands gripped the wheel at 11 and 2 positions, my foot on the brake, the car now at a four-way stop with a red traffic light. My feet were hurting like I had just jumped from a roof and landed barefoot on concrete. Looking at the clock, I could not account for the missing time. Feeling my body's heaviness and physical pain from entering it too quickly, I was aware of being brought up on board a ship for a pressing issue, but could not recall why. On another occasion, before the car incident, I recalled entering my body with a jolt during sleep, but this time I was aware of global service work. In my astral form, during the 2005 devastation of Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans, I was one of many people in their astral and cosmic form helping souls in transition. Over several days I remained in bed, with my family offering bedside meals to nourish my body so soul work could continue. Okay, so this week I was reading from Althea Provost's book, Four Aliens and a Funeral, A Memoir of Perception. If you want to buy the book, there is info and a link in the show notes. Great way to support this podcast is to sign up on Patreon. On the Alien UFO Podcast Patreon, when you sign up for $5 a month, you get an extended episode every week. And for $2 a month, you get an extended episode every month. If you want to give the extended episodes a try, there is a 7-day free trial. Just go to patreon.com/AlienUFO Podcast. And if you enjoy this podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.